This is the Roller Coaster Podcast, and I'm your host, Lucy Q. Life is a wild ride. It has twists and turns. It's scary, exciting, and downright fun. So throw your head back, arms in the air, and come along with me for the ride. I still remember the first time I watched Survivor. It was a new reality show. It was 1999, and Liam was a few months old. He slept quietly in his baby swing, and Jeff, he was out for the night. Watching the show, I was instantly hooked, and Survivor weaved itself into our lives, becoming a date night for Jeff and I. We would make a big plate of nachos and greedily eat them while watching each episode unfold. Fast forward 22 years, Survivor 41, Episode 3. One player resonated with me, Brad Reese, with a signature smile and authenticity. Brad had a great mindset. And unfortunately, that was the episode where he got voted off. As the show ended, I turned to Jeff and said, "I want to interview Brad." The next day, I tracked him down and sent him an email, inviting him to be on the show. A few days later, CBS emailed me back to schedule an interview. There's a small glitch in the audio where our internet became a bit unstable, but I left it in because this is the roller coaster where real life happens. Welcome to the roller coaster, Brad.
Well, thank you, Lucy. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, Survivor fans know that it's a game that involves mental acuity and physical stamina, and it's all wrapped in this social experiment. And you can't necessarily predict how your body will react to the conditions or how you're going to connect with your team. So that only really leaves your mental strength, your mindset, that is the true thing that you can control. So going into this game, what was your mindset? And how did that benefit you?
You got it, Lucy. So going into this game, I'm a rancher that grew up in Wyoming, right? So I'm physically, you're right. Physically, I was kind of prepared physically because I'm 50 years old. I've been battling the elements, the cold weather. A ranch is a lot of work. So physically, I actually thought, man, I'll be good physically because my body's used to that. But the mental part of it going into the game, right? Ah, man, it's so hard to prepare because you don't know who's going to be on your tribe. You don't have any idea what kind of people are going to get thrown at you. And I'm kind of confident in visiting with people. I do it a lot, even coming from a ranch. You know, we have a hunting operation. We do ag tourism to where we visit with a lot of people. But still, you can't quite prepare your mind for that. And I wasn't as prepared, I think, as I should have been mentally.
That didn't come across in what I saw. What I saw was a really, you had such a positivity and you had such a great energy, you know, coming from sitting on the sofa and watching the game play, you had a very distinct energy. So, you know, maybe what people saw was, you know, maybe your true self.
Yeah, I got you. No, I followed that. I wasn't quite prepared for the other personalities, but I was prepared for me when I went in to prepare myself to answer your first question again. I was prepared mentally because I said, I am going to be myself and I'm going to run myself wide open. I'm not going to try to pretend to be this person playing in the background and laying low. You know, I know the strategies of Survivor to survive to the merge and to do all that. And that's not who I am. That's not my style. And I play wide open. I live wide open. And that was important to me. And I'm glad to hear you say that, man, from the screen, it looked like you were having fun. You were living your life and doing it out there. So that was my goal.
And you certainly always had, you know, the classic Brad smile. You know, you just didn't seem to let the game get to you. And even that morning when you woke up and you could hear and see your team all gathered on the beach, laughing and chatting away, and you were left at camp. And what you did is you got up and you just got to work.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Classic Brad, right? I can control Brad. I can't control the other team members. They were down on the beach. They're having fun. I'm not that grumpy guy who's going to say, oh, those kids aren't making their own fire. By golly, I'm not going to either. No, I look for the good in everybody. And I look for what can I do right now to kind of help the tribe, help me, and just be here all the way around. And that classic Brad smile came from just the sheer enjoyment of me being out there, Lucy. I was loving it. I don't know. It spoke my language and it came very natural.
So does your really strong work ethic, does that come from running the ranch and living on the ranch?
Yes, it comes from the ranch. It's not cut and dried. It's not a standard. You know, I grew up with two brothers and a sister who loved the ranch, but didn't want to stay because the work never ends on a ranch. And so they like a job they can go to, they can wrap it up, come home. Well, that's not the case here. There's always something going on, and there's always miles of fence. There's always cows to feed. There's always something going. And so you just have to do your best every minute of the day. What can I do right now to help the global operation of the ranch? And so on the beach, that's exactly my mentality. What can I do to help the big picture?
Do you think that helped you or hurt you in the game?
Great question. So I think it probably hurt me, right? Likeability is a liability. The truth is not necessarily what you want, but that wasn't the game I was playing. The game I was playing was, hey, look at me. You can read who I am. In about 2 seconds, you can see the real Brad Reese. And so I was hoping that my teammates would look at that and go, wow, we can use Brad as a tool because he is who he says he is, and he works hard. And it might have, I thought it would hurt me further in the game, right? Once it got to be an individual game, then they're like, okay, Brad's strong individually, people like him, maybe we should cut him after the merge. I did not expect to be cut before the merge.
That must have stung.
That hurt bad. It hurt deep, actually. You know what I mean? Because I thought I developed a really strong bond. And Shan is the elephant in the room, right? She's the one who put the knife in me. So let's talk about Shan, because Jeannie was awesome. We had Jeannie. Jeannie and I, we thought the same, worked the same. But it was Shan that I was disappointed in, because she knew who I was. She can read people very well. And she just made a conscious decision to go with kind of the slimy side and go with Ricard, or go with somebody she could trust, you know, and that was her choice. And so that's what hurt. That's what it's like, oh, I poured myself out to you. I thought we had a bond and you chose a different path.
Do you think then that Shan was playing as her authentic self, or was she trying to be that survivor player that gets to the end at all costs, but then, you know, it usually comes back to bite them because people realize you're not all that you said you were?
Yeah, right. I think Shan is brilliant. I think she's very smart. I think she came in it with a game plan and a forward strategy. And I think she was playing it. I really do. And I think I was just that guy that was kind of collateral damage. And she knew. And then I think also it hurt me when I lost all my power with that idol, with, you know, the three-way idol. I lost my boat. And I think Shan saw an opportunity that maybe she'd have taken me further. But Brad's weak right now. Why not just get rid of him now before he gets even stronger?
And it was winning that idol that was sort of a double-edged sword, because you found it because of your work ethic staying at camp.
Yes.
But then you were put in this dilemma that, okay, I'm going to lose my power. How is that going to affect my game?
Right. And that's the monster that I blame Jeff Probst for, right? Because you go out and you look for this idol, and I looked hard for that thing. And so it's like, okay, I finally found the idol. In all the other last 20 seasons, the idol is a great thing to find, and let's go. But Jeff's always throwing those little twists to you. And the second I saw Beware, I'm like, uh-oh, my heart sank. Well, beware of what? Beware I might have to do something. Beware you might have to earn this. Well, great, I can do that. I did not realize until I opened it that it was beware you could lose your boat if other tribes, now I'm vulnerable to the other tribes finding theirs. And so that hurt. That I knew I was in trouble. And that, boy, that started just boggling my mind, because that I wasn't ready for that twist.
When you saw the word beware, though, did you contemplate maybe not opening it?
Not for a second. I saw beware and it dropped. I don't know. The camera wasn't really on me right when I saw it. But when I saw it, I kind of was like, uh-oh. and my heart dropped, but it dropped because, like, what else got to do? There never was a question that I wouldn't open this baby and play it.
Well, because traditionally the idol has always been, you know, got it, you're done, you've got the power. It was just this season that they're like, nope, not this time.
Exactly. No, you're right. And that's, you know, that's the game I was playing, right? I was playing wide open. So I knew there was a target on me. I was being a little chaotic. I was being Brad. And people, yeah, it wasn't there. But I knew I can find this idol. I can get advantages. And I can use those advantages to build alliances. And so everything was going forward until the air got taken right out of my sails.
Now, do you think you trusted a little too much in sharing that you had the idol?
Oh, big mistake, Lucy. Yes. Yes, in hindsight, my friends, we were at a watch party, and when I started sharing that as advantages with Shan, the whole room was like, Brad, no, what are you doing? Don't do it. In hindsight, yes, I regret that. I would not share that. Absolutely, I'd keep that thing secret. In my defense, I was trying to build this with Shan. I knew Shan was on both sides. I knew Shan had the power. If I could win Shan over to my side, and I was sincere in it, these are for us, Shan. We can use these together to go all the way in the game. No doubt in my mind, with Shan and Jeannie, we'd have crushed the thing. And that was the story I was trying to sell. And I think it kind of backfired on me.
Well, she sold the idea well, because she continued in convincing people to hand over their idols.
She's amazing.
They kept doing it. And you're sitting there thinking, have you not learned anything? Why would you give your idol away?
Why? Right. Why? Yeah, she just slayed Brad. She slayed JD. Jeannie, what are you doing? But you're in this position, right? That it's like, well, maybe it's my only choice. And Shan was professional and going, well, I think Shan might be my number one. And if I could get her as my number one. But I think it's kind of that trouble that you look at the good, right? You're the optimist. You're like, yes, I can win Shan over with this and we'll crush it, instead of being a little more paranoid, right? I wish I'd been a little more paranoid to go, wait a minute, what are the ramifications with this? Maybe I shouldn't quite be, think about it a little deeper before you do this.
What was the most unexpected thing that you learned about playing the game Survivor versus watching the game Survivor?
Wow, that's a good question, right? Because everybody sits on the couch and they know exactly what to do. There's podcasts saying exactly why you did or didn't win or lose. And when you're out there, everything changes. The biggest thing I learned is the other personality types you cannot account for, right? I'm on a ranch in Wyoming. I run into people, a lot of people who believe and think like I do. And even though you got different styles of people, when you get on Survivor, they come from the whole spectrum. And I wasn't quite prepared for that. People are not necessarily what you think they are on the outside, right? It's like, if I treat you good, I expect you to treat me good. That's kind of how I live my life. But that's not necessarily the case. So the single biggest thing was the other personality types, the other players are just as good or better at portraying an image that might not necessarily be them.
Now that you've returned home and the episodes are being released, has life changed?
Right. Not really. You know, you get recognized, right? That's kind of fun. You walk into a store or whatever, like, whoa, are you really? You said, a guy ran into me the other day. He's like, you said you were going back to the ranch where you can trust people. Is this the ranch? I'm like, yeah, here I am right on the ranch. You just ran into me randomly. So that's very fun. But the other part of it is I got a lot of work here on the ranch and you got to get back to it. And so it's like, yes, it was a blast. It was fun. But there is a lot more to Brad Reese than Brad Reese Survivor 41. And yes, this is my little time in glory, right? It's fun. It's still fun to watch on Wednesday nights. It's still fun to kind of share this experience. But life moves on, and it's a part of my life that's already maybe getting a little bit dimmer as I move forward in other things.
The animals still need to be taken care of.
They never stop. That's right. Life has to charge on. Yep.
One of my favorite things is learning about what the players do just after they get voted out.
Oh, you're not frozen, Brad. I think Lucy made
Lucy, are you? Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Brad.
Okay. Great.
Oh, there's Lucy.
I was just saying that one of my favorite things is learning what the players do just after they get voted off. So what was that first hour like after leaving?
Yes, great, man. It is such a coming off your high, right? Because you're still in tribal, you still got hopes, and then all of a sudden it is snuffed. And it's like, okay, this is reality. Maybe there's another raft that'll take me to a different island, right? I can still stay in this, but you kind of know. And so that first hour, you get back to Ponderosa and you just decompress. And it's just a great big breath of air out, you know, and it's hard to describe. You're starving, you want food, but you can't really eat food, you know, and you see other players that have been before you. And so you're kind of sharing that. And it's just a whole flood of emotions that's just bottled up that kind of won out. It's a weird phenomenon how that all comes together, but it's basically coming down off your high, coming down off that mountain, and just kind of the realization that your game's over.
As we wrap up, Brad, do you have any final thoughts or words of wisdom that you'd like to offer our listeners?
Yes. You know, the one thing you learn out here is you do learn more about yourself. You're stripped down, you're raw, you're hungry. And so I've caught a lot of, people have criticized my game possibly, but one thing I never did in the game was never, there's some things that aren't for sale. And I never sold myself out. I was never displeased with Brad Reese, the person. I stuck true to who I was. And I still believe that could have taken me all the way in this game with the right set circumstances. And so my advice to everybody, that when the chips are down, when you're raw, when you're stripped down to just you, still be yourself. Don't sell yourself short. Still have confidence in yourself to say, hey, I don't care if $1 million is on the line. There's some things more important than money, than perception, than what other people think of you, right? That's what I really took away from it is, hey, be true to yourself.
That's great advice. Brad, I have been a fan of Survivor since day one, and it has truly been a pleasure to chat with you today. Thank you.
Awesome. Lucy, well, thank you very much. No, pleasure's mine.
Episode 200 of The Roller Coaster will soon be here, and this is your chance to be part of the fun. I'm going to be recording this episode with coaches and listeners just like you. If you want to be part of the fun, head over to nectaregrowth.com. Sign up for free and RSVP for the November 18th event. All of the details will be under the events tab. I can't wait to see you there. What are you waiting for? Come join us. You know you're worth it. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Roller Coaster Podcast. Want to chat or share your ideas about today's show? Pop me an email at hello@therollercoasterpodcast.com. Don't forget to connect with me on Facebook and Instagram at The Roller Coaster Podcast. Our theme song, Roller Coaster, was performed by The Lucky Setback. Audio editing by the one and only Jeff Quigley of Quigley Creator.
Life is like a roller coaster, baby. Ride.